This is Jocelyn Pease, here. Also on the phone.
Mona?
Mona LaPierre.
Okay, and then we'll go around the room. Mike?
Mike Gates.
Lauren Brighthouse, Finance Director.
Tony Larson.
Ed Kianjian.
Jerry Gibrilotto, City Manager.
And Amy Pepper. Did you guys hear everybody as we went around the room?
Yeah, that sounded
good. Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
Sounded good. Okay.
John.
Okay.
Jocelyn and
okay,
Mona.
Okay, so. Okay, let's go to the item number two, approval of the summary notes from June 2021. Has everybody had an opportunity to review them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, this is Mona.
Okay, I have. Does anybody want to make a motion to approve the minutes for Tuesday, June 8th, 2021? Or am I premature on that?
I'll move to approve the notes. I don't have any.
Okay, and if you could say who you are so I know kind of what's
this
going on here,
Tony.
Okay? Okay, Tony.
This is Mona, so, I second.
Okay, it's been moved by Tony and seconded by Mona to approve the minutes of June 8th, 2021. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay. I'm not quite sure how to do this. Should we just say who's in favor? Should we go around the board table and say, you know, start with me saying that I approved them and then go to Jocelyn and then et cetera to Mona?
You can do it either way. I think we heard in the room everybody say aye and I didn't hear any opposition, or you can go.
Okay, because I couldn't hear anything. Okay, so. I'm going to go on your word, Amy. Everybody, there was no opposition to it. So let's say that that's passed. Okay. Let's move on to business. The financial update for the 5-year plan. And I believe that goes, and that's Lauren. So.
Yeah. Hi, this is Lauren, the finance director here. Amy, if you just want to scroll on down to page 126 of the document,
okay.
On the numbers on the bottom, I don't know exactly the PDF number yet, pages more. So, for those of you who are not in the room, what I have Amy pulling up on the screen is a copy of our 5-year forecast for the water fund, and that's on our website under the adopted budget. So. If you browse to our City of Westland website and go to department pages and then finance, along the left-hand side, there's an area that says budget. And if you open up that budget area, there's an area that says biennium, it's the top item, it's biennium 2023 budget, adopted budget. And on page 100.
What page is that? Okay.
On page 126 of the document is the water fund 5-year forecast.
Okay, I have that here, okay.
Perfect. And so, as you all know, usually we wait.
Is it the, I'm sorry, is it the 20 proposed budget or the adopted 2021?
It should be along the side. So if you go up along the side and go to the budget tab, the brown budget tab, and then go to the biennium 2023 adopted budget, that it's the top one on there, the supporting documents, the link.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's page 126 of the document. And for those of you who have been around for a few years here on the UAB, generally, I bring to you all in about November how we did over the summer and a 20-year water forecast. I understand, Amy, that from Amy that some of you requested that I come tonight to kind of talk about where we're at right now. We put together this five-year forecast as a part of our budget, as we do every biennium. And so we have not received our revenue, our final revenues for the summer yet. So I won't speak to that yet, but I will be back in, you know, November time frame, November, December, to discuss those. And as of right now, what we're looking at is fiscal year 22, which is the first year in the yellow. And as you can see down towards the bottom, there is a total ending fund balance. And that total ending fund balance is about $2.6 million. As you can see in the previous few years, it's been a little above $3 million. A couple of years ago, it was $3.2 million. And as you can see, that fund balance is declining over the next few years. And fiscal year 2026, we're still in the positive. We're still doing okay. We're still meeting our policy requirements, but that fund balance has gone down to about half of what it is currently, or what we're expecting for this year, to about $1.3 million. So as many of you know, we've been talking a lot for the last few years about doing a rate increase over the 5% amount. I know that a lot of you have been interested in talking about that and moving forward with that. We have been talking about the timing of doing that, specifically with the water line replacement project. We don't have all the details yet about the water line replacement project. It was originally said that it was going to be about $6 million. That has changed. And as you can see in this budget document, in the first yellow column, there is a proceeds from the sale of bonds for $6 million. When we were drafting this budget, that's kind of how much, that's the estimated amount that we thought that that waterline project was going to be. And we thought that there was going to be an issuance of a bond and some debt service to pay on that, and then the payment out in the first year under water capital project. That $7 million has that $6 million payment out included in there. So that's part of the reason why the fund balance is declining a little bit, but not really the whole picture. We're hearing now that that number is more about like $9 million or more. And there's some logistical issues of how that is going to be done and how we are going to pay for it. So that's some of the things that we're working through right now as a team here at the city, and figuring out, number one, how much this is going to cost. Number two, what are some options to pay for that water line replacement or relocation? So once we figure out those items, which hopefully we will have a couple of those options to bring to the UAB in November, that will be a topic of discussion there. Also, at that UAB meeting, we'll talk about the long-range plan of the water fund and talking about those if water rate increases. That might be a potential way to fund the $9 million or a portion of the $9 million. But I think that there's going to need to be the rate increase and an additional bond or some other form of financing for that water line replacement. So that's kind of what we're looking at now. We still have a lot of information to kind of figure out over the next few months. But as of right now, we can still see that our ending fund balance is going down in the water fund, and it's still looking like we're going to need some kind of replacement, some kind of increase in water rates. But we don't really have a full picture of what that cost is going to be to make that full analysis at this point. So hopefully in November we'll have more information on that.
What is the transfer to other funds?
Transfers to other funds, that's a great question. It's on another page in this document, page 147 of the actual document, shows our activity-based costing. It's an indirect costing method that we use. It's a GFOA, Government Finance Officers Association best practice. And ABC, or activity-based costing, is an allocation of transferring money back to the general fund to pay for services like the finance department, the, city manager department, the HR, and all those other departments. So there's cost drivers used.
I might be more precise. Why is it such a dramatic increase?
Oh, well, partially, the reason
Could I just break in here real quickly?
Yes.
Could you identify who's talking? To identify yourself when you ask the question.
Mike East, I asked the question.
Exactly what that is, how much the increase is.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So it's a couple hundred thousand. It's based off of the allocation of expenditures and what the expenditures are in this fund. And so if these expenditures went up in proportion to other funds, depending on how much the activity drivers were, it would increase the fund's cost. Those transfers go to cover a portion of public works support services. Public support services did increase this biennium, and the water, environmental, and street fund are the three funds that cover the transfers for that specific department in the general fund. So that's why you'll see that jump there.
Just a quick question. This is Tony. That estimated nine million, is that for just, and I know it's just estimated, but that, is that just for moving the line, or is that replacing and removing?
I think that's for both.
Okay.
Right, Amy, is that correct?
Yeah. They're currently debating whether or not it's physically possible to hold the water line up somehow when the bridge is removed. And if not, we may be in a position where we have to purchase water from Lake Oswego for a certain amount of time, and then there's going to be some realignment of the new water line on the Oregon City side and on our side, as well as re-expanding it across the
city. But at any cost, any cost, they're going to replace that line when they do move
yep.
it.
Okay. Yeah.
Are they still considering like a second vacant line for possible future expansion?
I don't recall the latest discussion about that. It's very fluid right now as they're looking at options and costs and impacts. And they looked at boring under the river, and I think that was a $15 million price tag. So they have put that one off to the side. But as costs keep escalating, that may come back into play. And as we get more detail into what the preferred design is, that's when we'll have a joint city council and UAB meeting to present that with, again, the financial piece of how we have to pay for it, because we don't have an option.
Right.
Ms. Mona, I think it's really good to look at putting a dual line in and show both options in the design. It's inevitable we're going to need that other line.
Okay. Does anybody else have a question for Lauren? Okay, well, when is the tentative joint city council UAB meeting scheduled for at this time?
I think it will be in the fall. I don't believe we have a date set yet.
Uh-huh. Okay, so September, or it could be October then.
Correct. It could probably be even November, depending on how fast design is going.
Okay. So it's dependent on design. Okay. Okay, does anybody else have any questions? Go ahead.
Yeah, Hi, Jo. This is John. One of the things that I still have is what are the different funding, potential funding mechanisms? It sounded like there were a couple different options from a prior meeting. And then, like, what would be the timing for executing on those options? I mean, it sounds like we still aren't quite certain what our timing is for the need for these funds, but I just want to be mindful of, for example, if we were to need to go out to voters, what that time horizon would look like for making that decision so that we can have enough lead time to actually make it. And I guess if there are any other notes around pros or cons of the various financing alternatives, that'd be helpful too.
Great question. Yeah, and that has been one of my concerns about this process too, is, you know, getting the information as fast as we can to get that on the ballot. But at this point, I think we have a few options. The best option in my opinion at this point would probably be to go out for a GO bond, which is a general obligation bond, which is voted on by the citizens and then is charged through the tax rate on the water use or on the property tax payment. And that would likely be at the May election at this point. And hopefully we would be able to get the funding secured in August, if that was the case. So that's definitely something that we've been talking about and have that deadline in mind. And so I think we're on track. If we need to make that deadline, we'll be able to hopefully do that at this point. And then another option is if we are for some reason not able to make that GO bond funding, we could do either a revenue bond or a full phase in credit bond, which is not secured by the taxpayers' property tax bills. It's just by the general fund or the revenues of the water fund. That being said, if we did do the revenue bond, that would likely go along with the increase in water rates. And at a later date, we would have to have that vote and hopefully roll those fees into that. So we definitely have the same questions and conversations here and have taken that into account and know the timeline. Yeah,
can I ask a follow-up?
Sure.
So for those options, the revenue bond or the GO bond, would the revenue bond require raising rates above the 5% and the GO bond would not? Is that what I'm understanding? Or no, did I misunderstand that?
So there are two different options. So a GO bond is charged through the property. It increases the citizens' property taxes. So the citizens vote on it, and that will increase a certain amount per $1,000 of assessed value to each home on their property tax statement. So that does require a vote. The revenue bond and the full faith and credit, that's just they're basically the same thing. It's just a way of saying how they're secured by the investors. And both of them, we would hope that we could get a increase in the water rate to help pay for them, because they would be coming out of the general fund or the water fund of the city. And obviously, if we pass the bond in the water fund and we are paying for it through the water fund, you know, eventually our fund balance is going to dip down and we're not going to be able to do the other projects that we would like to do. So we would likely be able to, you know, cover debt service on it for the 20 years, but we would want to put that in our water rate increase.
About how big an increase in how many years in that rate? You mentioned it would be an increase on the
That would be very dependent on how much it is, how much the debt service is over, how many years. I mean, there are a lot of factors that I would need to know to answer that. And also, how much do we need to do the other capital projects that are wanted and needed in the water fund?
We don't know.
Does that help, Jocelyn?
Yeah, somewhat. I'm sorry, I'm maybe just still not quite clear. I mean, is there another option where we just increase rates more? Without either the,
you can't go over 5% without voter approval.
So. I know, but it sounds like we would need voter approval, right? So, mm-hmm. I guess I was wondering if that is a third option or if that's part of the mm-hmm. revenue bond option.
So explain what the question is on the third option again. Sorry, I might have missed a part of that.
That's okay. I'm not sure if it's just confusion or if others are similarly confused, but what I was asking is if there would be another way to do it to just increase rates, water utility rates, beyond the 5%, which I acknowledge would require voter approval, that wouldn't also be a revenue bond. Really, the only way to do it is through the.
Okay, I definitely understand now. Okay, so I think at this point, likely not, because it takes a number of years in order for us to build up $6 million or $9 million in the fund in order to pay for that large chunk. And so even if we did raise the rates, it's not like we're going to get a large deposit in the first few years of an increase. We'll see a couple $100,000 increase each year, or maybe even $1 million increase each year, but we will have to pay for that contract up front. So we will need the inflow of the $9 million, which we can't get just from a rate increase. We'll need.
Okay, got it. Function of timing and when we need to provide the entire amount. Okay.
Right. So I think the question at this point is, would the voters be more supportive of having it in their property tax bill, or would they be more supportive of higher rates? And historically, it's generally been on the property tax bill because it's a write-off on your taxes. Although now there is a cap on the write-off of taxes, and so a lot of people, you know, aren't as inclined to do that, but it still is generally a more popular option. That being said, I think it's partly this group and council's decision to make if they would rather couple it with the water increase, because we know that we're likely going to have that increase in water rate additionally, and would they rather, you know, say, here, we're going to issue this bond that's going to be on your taxes, and then we're also going to ask you to approve a rate increase, or just put it all together as one rate increase that pays for multiple items. So that's kind of the question that we're going to probably be looking at in the next few months.
This is Mona. If I recall, the last time the voters were asked if they wanted to include something in their taxes, and I believe this was the street and park fees, they said no, and we have fees now that those fees were originally supposed to be part of our taxes. Am I not remembering that correctly?
That was prior to my time here, so I'm not sure exactly the history on that, but the street fee was implemented, I think the streets and the parks maintenance fee were implemented around 2008, is that correct? That sounds right to you? Okay. Yeah.
Their fee. Sorry, go ahead.
I said I don't know if their appetite has changed since 2008.
Well,
I think there's also a question of, you know, what the rate increases are going for. And so, you know, there might be a different appetite if people have, you know, if it's a large project, like we have to move our water line, there's really not another option and here's the situation, versus, you know, there's these repair projects that we would love to get done.
Is there a group that is kind of friends of the city or relative to these kind of utility projects that would be able to do a video for the cable access folks? That was one of the ways we were able to get the police budget.
I think that's you guys. I think you are the friends of the utilities.
I think you're looking at that.
Yeah. Well, you're not looking at me here right now, but anyway.
This is Mona. I did a wastewater on the water side.
On the communication to the public, the sooner you start, the better you're going to do. That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay. So we have, this is Jerry. Did you go to the public buildings sort of team meeting that we had today? I think it was today or yesterday.
It was canceled.
Oh, okay. But so this group knows, there's a group of staff that are going to begin to assemble informational materials about some of the projects that are being discussed about for bonding, right? So, Oppenlander, you looked at me quizzically, sorry. Oppenlander, the water line, other ideas that have been in the public discussion generally that, like, we just want to start thinking a little bit more critically about, and then should a group sort of adopt something as its cause, you would have non-biased information ready for you. I don't know if you'd have video technicians, but...
Well,
the point is,
we have many else.
No, but you know what I mean.
We have plenty of those.
Yeah.
From my place.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We're definitely looking at a lot of things. You know, obviously here we're focused on water and utilities, and we also have to balance those needs too with the other projects that are out there. And so we're trying to figure out how best to put all these together in a package or separate them out, if that
there's a lot of things coming at the same time, and that wasn't purposeful, but it's just sort of the way the cookie crumbles, right? So.
Or the bridge falls down, which is where we can put it.
So this is Amy. I'm just throwing this out there, but this is the 205 bridge, and the 205 project is a regional and statewide project that is, some may say, is having an unfair impact on the Westland citizens. So it could be that there may be a lobbying effort that goes forward in the short session before the legislature for funding. That is also an option. It's also a very big wild card, but I think that's also something that could happen.
This is Tony. Just a quick question. You probably be the best to answer this. Was there any of the ARPA money that was used for infrastructure that we could use for a project like this?
That's a great question. So we, along with our infrastructure task force group that is starting to meet, we also have an ARPA group. We haven't yet done any formal allocations of the 5.9 approximately million that we are getting in ARPA funds, but we definitely have in mind the water fund and water infrastructure, and think that a large portion of the funding will go towards that. But again, we haven't finalized any of those items. There's a lot of other components to that too. One of the bigger components right now on the table is the revenue replacement component of and being able to replace some lost general fund revenues. And so that calculation is being done currently and trying to figure out how we could utilize those funds too. So once we kind of figure that out, and there'll be council discussions over the next couple months, definitely about how to spend those monies too. And hopefully, whatever portion of the ARPA fund goes into the water fund, that will help this. And that's kind of what another component of saying, like, November we'll really have a better, hopefully have a more solid picture of where we're at for our 20-year forecast. And not like that's going, one-time funding is going to solve
right.
the structural problems, you know, but it might help.
Help stop the bleeding a little bit.
Exactly.
If I may, this is Jocelyn again, and I have a comment and a question. To Mona's earlier point about some of the history of the requests for bonds that have gone out, that might be helpful to have in a meeting, like maybe our next meeting or the one with City Council, to just get a sense of what that's looked like. I'm a newer Westland resident. I've only been here for about 5 years now, so I don't have a sense of what that history is like and what level of success there's been on those types of requests. And then another question that I had was for, in general, for the pipe replacement, have we looked at alternatives to that pipe replacement? Or do we have like long-term commitments with South Fork that's our source of water and that's it? And it may be that there just are no other options, which I would also imagine could be the case. That was something that would occur to me and thought it might be a question that we'd also be getting from other folks as to whether we had considered alternatives to this project.
So Jocelyn, this is Amy. I can answer the alternative to South Fork. The City of Westland is a co-owner legally of South Fork. So if we were to pull out, it likely would have some legal challenges of how we actually divest ourselves, and then we would have to find an alternative. Currently, we have an IGA with Lake Oswego that does allow us a guaranteed amount. But that does not supply the full water needs during the summer months currently. So we wouldn't be able to go straight to Lake Oswego. So there would have to be negotiations or some other source found. Lake Oswego is probably the easiest for us. But the it wouldn't be an easy negotiation as there was a lot of struggle in them expanding their treatment plants in Westland, so they might not be as friendly coming to the table as they would like.
Amy, I understood, now this goes back a couple of years, that there was an IGA agreement with Lake Oswego that they would provide redundancy up until 2040, I think it was, or 2039. Am I misunderstanding that?
It is like 30-year IGA. I don't recall when it expires, but it does go out for some period of time, yeah.
So it seems like there's quite a bit of groundwork established for that backup then, correct?
Correct, yeah. Our IGA does require them to guarantee us a certain amount of water that would last us over the winter months, but not over the summer months when we have the highest demand. So if the option were to be that we needed to get water from them for this project, we would have to time it over the winter months to make sure that we didn't have to do any water curtailing.
Okay.
And you guys are on
Mike left
the room. Mike had to leave the meeting, so since you're not here.
Okay. Okay. Does anybody else have a question that you'd like to address to Lauren?
I just have this. I got one last one.
Okay, go ahead. Is this Tony?
The water.
Is this Tony?
Yeah.
Okay.
So under water capital project, these are the current approved projects that are ongoing or in design.
Yeah.
That's the big jump.
Yeah. So, well, the big jump there is actually is that there's the $6 million in at the top, and then there's the $6 million out in water capital projects for what we thought was going to be done this December. It doesn't look like that's going to happen at this point, but we put it in there as a placeholder because that's what we knew at the time.
Gotcha.
But if you go a little bit further back in the budget, starting on page 141 is the 6-year capital improvement plan. And on page 143 of the document is the water capital project. And those amounts will tie out to the document, back up to that capital line item.
Gotcha.
There's, and obviously there's ones that are funded by fees, and then there's ones that are funded by SDCs, and then there are areas down below that are say that the source would be funded by fees or SDCs, but they are not funded. They have an N. So those numbers are not included in that in those capital projects. The ones that have a yes by them, a Y by them, are included.
Okay.
So you'll see there. In the first year, fiscal year 2022, there's the $6 million water line replacement. There's the operations building preliminary design for $200,000, the water system improvement project of $900,000, and then the water master plan update of $1.5 million. And those amounts tie to the amount on those water capital projects and then the equipment and vehicles.
Gotcha.
And then going forward, those all tie out. So those are the big projects that we're looking at doing. And then as you can see, there are quite a number of projects down below the second half of that section that are not funded. And that's part of our discussions of the water rate increase.
Gotcha.
And you're on the bottom of page 143, correct?
Correct. Yeah, the second half.
Okay.
Page 143.
Right. Water. So water CIPs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. And so those all should tie back and forth, and you can kind of see, you know, all the projects that we are funding, all the projects that need to be done but are not funded yet, and then the projects that are funded also by SDCs. So.
Yep. Lauren, I had a question about SDCs. Those cannot be applied to the new project, the I-205 project. Is that correct?
So SDCs need to be capacity increasing projects only. So if there was a portion of it that was capacity increasing, but I don't believe that there is. Amy, do you know if there's any capacity increasing level
there? Two things. It has to be capacity increasing, and it has to serve new growth.
Yeah.
And I think they will be designing the water line to build out. But the project was never in our capital improvement plan. So the other factor is it has to be in our capital improvement plan, and then we have to go back and reevaluate our SDCs to see what portion. Is actually SDC eligible when we've done some preliminary estimates with other SDCs. As we get closer to build out, that percentage of capacity that you can attribute to new growth is actually really small. So your SDC contribution is not as much as you would anticipate. That second factor
is. Because there isn't that big a growth, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just don't anticipate a lot more growth in Westland under the current development.
Right.
So, it used to be it just had to be a capacity enhancing project, and then about 10 years ago they changed the SDC laws to add that factor that it has to be attributable to growth. So as you get closer to build out, your SDCs are anticipated to go down.
And to be clear on that, at the end of the fiscal year that we're currently in, we only project to have about a little over 600,000 in SDCs in the fund balance. So even if we could apply it, it's not likely that it would cover even a significant, or even a, you know, a tenth
right.
of the project.
Okay. But I was Can just I, looking at, go ahead, Jocelyn,
oh,
just let me finish
yep.
this. So the
yep.
basically the GO revenue bond, there could be a government help of some type. SDCs aren't going to amount to a whole lot. So those are kind of the four things, right, for funding of this, $9 million?
I would say, you know, one type of bond, so either a GO bond or full faith and credit
or revenue
bonds. Those are kind
right,
of
okay.
similar in nature. And then
mm-hmm.
the other option is just paying for it via rate increase, but that would be more like actually paying for it, you know, with a full faith and credit bond, and then just, you know, later getting the
okay,
rate increase.
So, right. And that was what Jocelyn was going to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Jocelyn, go ahead.
Yeah, on this
I
rate increase.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Ed, go ahead.
Yeah, on this rate increase, as it will be kicked around, we're talking about something, a one-time shot or spread over a number of years. I'm just thinking, how would that be sold? I was just thinking about that.
Right, that's a great question. I think that would be up to, you know, what the UAB wants to recommend to council and what the council ultimately wants to put out to voters and what the appetite looks like for voters. You know, I think when we go down that road, there'll definitely be some type of citizen survey, I'm assuming, of, you know, would you rather have this one large $10 increase or would you rather have it staged over a number of years, and here's how each one would impact it. And really, the timing of those projects is probably going to make a big difference in that. You know, obviously, if we do it in the front, if we have a lot of big capital projects coming up and
yeah.
that need to be done in the next year or two, which there are quite a few on there, but I think it's more of the long-term picture, you would want them front-loaded, and you'd want that one big-time
sure.
increase. But if the appetite of the voters is that no way, I don't want a $10 increase, but I would be okay with $2 every year for the next, you know, an additional $2 every year for the next 10 years,
okay.
that, you know, that might be a better option, and we would just have to, you know, spread out projects further,
okay.
which is already being done. I mean, projects have been, we've been spreading out projects for a number of years. And
how much longer can we do that?
Exactly. And those
mm-hmm.
30-year, I think it's a 30-year schedule of replacement. And if we're, you know, pushing those each, you know, 5 years, at some point,
you're going to hit
the
big
wall.
Snowball, and you're going to have
yeah.
to replace everything.
Or have the pipe first. We'll
right.
say that.
This is Tony. Correct me if somebody knows other information, but I know for like there used to be a streets bond that was just like a auto renewing bond. It was a, you know, long term, like 20-year bond, and it just would renew, and that's how streets was maintaining their replacement schedules. Is that something we can do? Is that kind of what a revenue bond would be? It's just kind of once you get it approved, it just keeps going.
I don't know of anything specifically like that. There, you might be thinking of a like a local option levy that there used
maybe
to be.
Maybe that's what it was.
And local option levies are on a 5-year circuit, and that might be what Mona's saying, is that like the local option levy didn't go through, and then and they end up using a street fee instead of doing the local option levy. I need to research that a little bit more. But, you know, a revenue bond or any faith and credit bond, you know, we would go out for it and we'd get the one-time payment. We'd be paying the debt service over 20 years. And as that debt service, in 20 years from now, when that debt service retires, a lot of times then it's easier to go out back out to the voters and say, hey, this is not going to increase rates. We're going to keep it at the same as it is. We have these debts retiring, so your property taxes won't go up, but we'll be able to get X amount of dollars because we can now have the property tax differential.
I was trying to think long-term, how can we prevent the situation we're in now, just kind of keep replenishing that fund without having to, you know, go through a massive overhaul of the entire budget to start supplementing these projects that have been pushed out, you know, where are we going to be in 10 years? We're going to be facing the same situation where you've got to go back to voters who are tired of the same old song and dance. And
right.
So.
And that's, I think, why, you know, it's really a strategy of making it so that we're not going to have to go back out. It's enough, but also not too much so that people aren't opposed to it.
Right.
And that's really where a lot of the work is going to be done over the next few months and answering those questions. But realistically, I think, you know, the best course of action in my mind would be getting a GO bond for the water line replacement and then asking voters for a water increase for a certain amount. And obviously, that being said, you know, there's a lot of other projects that we're still talking about. So at this point, that would be where I would be thinking, but there might be some other things that we need to think to
this add. This is Mona. I can kind of speak to what it's like to work at an agency that was in a similar situation. I worked for Water Environment Services, and they didn't raise their rates because nobody wanted their rates raised and didn't even keep up with inflation. There was a huge push about 5 years ago, and it was a huge public campaign because I know Westland, every time a measure goes out for water rates or anything for the water system, they vote it down. And I don't know why. But I know West put a lot of energy into getting the money they needed for the digesters and things like that. It was a huge push, but they're on much better financial ground now than they were. And they got all their upgrades done.
Right. Yeah.
People just haven't had a waterline bus in front of their house yet.
Exactly. These are the invisible services. And until, you know, they were talking moratorium over, you know, for 20 years I was working there off and on.
And honestly, like, it may just be that, you know, it's not as fun to think about paying for a water line when you could think about paying for a new park or something that's a little bit more, you know,
it's not
a little
exciting.
Bit more fun. Yeah. And so really, like, you know, showing the need is there, and that it's not just, you know, a frivolous, like, hey, we want to raise rates because, you know, we want to do X, Y, and Z. Like, we want to raise rates because here's what you're going to get out of it, and here's the reality of what is needed. And, yes, we haven't had those issues, knock on wood, but, like, we need this to maintain that system.
Lauren, this is Jocelyn. Can I ask a question following up an earlier question I'd asked? And I'm sorry if I missed it in your response. I was just trying to understand what's our cutoff for making a decision? Like, what's our timing for making a recommendation as to whether it's a revenue bond or a GO bond, if those are our two best options?
So,
I'm able to get it on the back. And to message it and do all the support that we need to.
Right. I'd have to look at the exact deadline, but I believe Jerry, do you know the exact deadline for the May ballot? Is it in January or February?
February.
So sometime I believe in February, all the language and ballot measure information is due. So you kind of have to work backwards from there and say that likely, you know, council would need to draft that and, you know, have legal review and everything done in early January, and then obviously the holidays are in there. So really it will probably be a quicker turnaround towards the end of the year, the last few months of the year.
At least from what I can interpret, that's something like November, December.
Yeah, but yeah, I think that's
probably. Okay.
Okay, so anybody else have a question for Lauren then? Okay, why don't we, it seems to me we need to have a meeting where we can actually have somebody from staff, Amy, make a presentation to these various funding mechanisms, okay, for the amount of money that's going to be needed. Would September be too soon to have a presentation to us, or would October be a more realistic time?
Yeah, I'm looking at Lauren. So I think it's likely going to be September and October. And because the city is not driving the schedule, it's really ODOT and their schedule that's driving this, and the need for us to make quicker decisions. We didn't start designing the water line until a couple months ago. So this has really come on pretty quickly for such a large capital project. So that's why we're recommending as staff that we do a joint meeting with the UAB and the city council in one room, that we don't follow our more lengthy process. We would present it to the UAB, you guys would make a recommendation. It will be more of a joint process with the city council on this one. You'll be presented at the same time, you'll hear the same information, and then you'll have a more collaborative discussion about the options that staff presents to you. And that'll happen.
So we would, go ahead.
So that'll happen in the fall, September, October, maybe early November. As we get things more dialed in, the cost of the project, the design of the project,
okay.
And probably in lieu of your normal meeting, you'll just have a meeting at the council meeting, the council night.
And it sounds to me like probably the earliest that would be October. Is that correct?
I'm thinking likely at this point, the council's on recess until September now. They have a few other items that they'll be tackling. And I just don't think our design team, we've hired a consultant to do the design work. I don't think they're ready. Some firm cost estimates for us, probably won't be until October, and then we can figure out some of these options that we've discussed tonight, utility rates, geo bond, revenue bond. There's a lot of different factors that we'll have to take into consideration on funding it once we can nail down the actual cost of construction. We thought until about 2 weeks ago that they would be able to just build a temporary bridge or something to hold up the existing water line. And now it's sounding like that's not possible or that's complicated. So there's just a number of factors that we had made some assumptions and even the $6 million project costs that just aren't turning out to be true.
Okay, so with that in mind, I'd like to just direct us to the agenda and figure out when are we going to meet next, okay? And I guess that would be future topics of discussion for our next meeting. And I'd just like to hear from anyone who'd like to say how they feel about when we should meet next and what those topics should be. Does anybody have something that they could offer?
It sounds like we're not going to have any updates for anything like next month, so we probably move our meeting to October as normal, I would guess, and hope that we have some more information come then.
Okay.
And then just kind of revisit this whole process of funding and projects ongoing. Are we anticipating that the Willamette Falls Drive project would coincide with ODOT's project, because of the realigning of the bridges, or would we hold off on that stuff until after they're done?
So the first phase of the 205 expansion is the Abernathy Bridge. And then I believe they've split up the 205 expansion into multiple phases so that they can hire multiple different contractors. They're trying to keep the work to Oregon contractors, in my understanding, so they'll be making smaller projects. The Abernathy Bridge water line is the only one that I believe is a city funded. They will be reconstructing the Sunset overpass that has a water line, but that overpass was built and had our water line on it before ODOT changed their rules to require local municipalities to relocate their utilities. So even though we have utilities on that overpass, ODOT will be required to pay for it. So I think this is the only major project that will be impacted right now. There could be some other projects depending on where they move footings or something like that that impacts our utility lines, but.
Does anyone else have something to say in terms of a meeting in October or September and what to cover?
A question there, is it, maybe I missed this, was it sounding like the October meeting might be joint with City Council, or would that still be too soon?
Well, you can include that in.
Okay. Yeah, we don't have a firm date for that joint meeting yet.
And we have a firm date for the UAB, so.
Yeah, we can set a tentative date that will meet October 12th is the next meeting date in October for the second Tuesday. And we can put that on our schedules. And as we get more firmed with the council meeting, joint meeting, we can reevaluate whether or not we want to have multiple meetings or have some prep or whatever.
Okay. Okay, so we'll tentatively schedule for October 12th then, and we'll try to get staff input, some help from staff in terms of which of these bonds to go for or to recommend. And at least we'll have an information gathering session, okay? Does anybody have anything else to say about the next meeting? I kind of skipped going to South Fork Water Board. Seems like we have enough on our plate right now, so.
Yeah, that seems right.
Okay,
maybe putting that off this out. Sorry, this is Jocelyn.
Yeah, go ahead.
As far as the next meeting too, the one thing I was thinking could probably be helpful, it would be like a one pager on the different options we've been talking about, sort of summarizing what they are, pros and cons.
Yeah. They will be controversial.
Also the detail about success or failures of previous requests.
Okay.
I can gather a lot of that information pretty easily. I can put some of that information together for you guys.
That'd be great.
Okay. That would be great. Okay. Okay, so any further discussion on that? So we're gonna aim for October 12th. And we'll see what's going on with that, the process for the joint City Council UAB meeting, and see how things are going with that. Okay, why don't we move on to number 4, capital project update.
So I'll keep this pretty quick. I was just gonna point out in the council goals that were adopted, the Abernathy Bridge waterline project is part of the council goals, as well as continuing with our annual water improvement project. Including in the Merrillhurst area and Highway 43. The main waterline project that we have going moving forward is the Highway 43 project. This is where we are going to reuse the line that Lake Oswego gave us, their old transmission line, and we're gonna flip line a new water line into it. This is in front of the Highway 43 improvements. And this will go from Mapleton to the Lake Oswego border. So So that project is about 90% designed, and we'll be going to bid on that one roughly in January to get in front of the ODOT improvements along Highway 43. Yep, I think I've talked about it before. The Highway 43 ODOT improvements have been very pared down to now two intersections, but there is some possibility with, I believe, the infrastructure bill that I think passed at the federal level today, that there may be some funding coming to Westland from for Highway 43. So that one, the Highway 43 improvements, street improvements, are kind of a wait and see, but we are moving forward with the Highway 43 waterline improvements. And a lot of our waterline work, our replacement work, is based on our street program now. So we try to get a forecast of where we're going to improve the streets, reconstruct the streets, and then fix the water lines in those areas, and then go forward with a street project. But that's kind of on hold as we have a number of bond projects and other large projects on our plate. Other projects that we have going on that are not from the water department, we have a large street improvement project that just started. That's part of our annual maintenance, but we will be doing some pretty significant road improvements. We're making sure some of the older roads in the area, off Calaroga, Buck Street, are paved to 20 feet wide. That work has just started, so if you hear anything, social media and such, there is a pretty large road program going on. The sewer line on Bittner Street, near Sunset Elementary, the sewer line was put in years ago, and it was put in people's front yards. When we were doing Sunset Elementary, we found that it was in terrible condition. It's in a terrible location. So we have a project to relocate that out into the middle of the street, out of people's front yards, and upgrade it to current standards. That will be in front of the Bittner Street improvements. The park there will be improved. The frontage along there will be improved after the sewer is improved. Skyline partition, this is adjacent to the Bolton Reservoir. The Water Fund paid for, bought a couple of parcels adjacent to the Bolton Reservoir off of Skyline Drive. And the city has since wanted to partition those. We were gonna work with a developer to partition those and sell those properties. The developer dropped out, so the city is moving forward with putting in the improvements for a 3-lot partition with the intent to sell those properties and reimburse the waterfront, hopefully for more money than what we purchased those properties for in the past. Not enough to pay for a new water line, but every little bit counts. We have a pump station along Calaroga that's in need of a complete replacement. It's set down on Calaroga Street and right next to the river. It's in the floodplain, so we are looking at design alternatives to get it out of the floodplain for the Willamette so that we can access it during any future flood events. That one is going forward with design. We think we have an alternative proposed for that. And then we are also, as part of the bond project, we're working on the 10th Street interchange improvements. That'll be a city-funded project through, again, the bond funding to improve the 10th Street interchange. So those are large capital projects that we have. We have a few little ones here and there, but I think that covers the largest ones. Any questions about that?
You just said a lot, Amy.
We have a lot going on. We are fully staffed again, so that helps out. And most of our engineering staff is back in the office full time, or majority of the time currently. We'll see how things continue to go with the pandemic restrictions, but we are mostly back in the office and City Hall is back open.
Okay. Okay, so any other other questions for Amy? Let's move on to other business. Anybody have something under number six, other business? Okay. Okay, so I think we've had a lot, we've been given a lot to digest tonight, and I've got a lot of scribbled notes, and it's not very easy to listen to this. I'm not a great listener. I should have been there. So is there any movement to close the meeting or adjourn the meeting now? Or any further discussion? Anybody have anything else to offer?
This is Jocelyn. I have no further business and would move to adjourn. This is Mona. I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adjourn the meeting. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Opposed?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll get
thank
back
you.
To you for October.
Yes, I'll get these meeting minutes out for you guys pretty quickly.
This was a big meeting. Thank you very much, Amy. And it's better to, I'll be there in person next time, okay?
Okay. Yeah, we'll see how the restrictions change. It's better, in my opinion.